And also Dr. Gail Stevenson, she's the Director of International Programs. I'll bet you didn't know that Champlain College, which has a beautiful campus here in the city of Burlington, also has campuses in Israel, Malaysia, the United Arab Emirates, Sri Lanka, and soon to be in Singapore and Hong Kong. And we're going to find out what that's all about coming up this morning, and you are welcome to call in. John, Gail, how are you this morning? Nice to see you folks.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
A little
nice
nippy,
to be here, Mark.
Little nippy out there. Maybe first I could get a little background on you folks. Gail, how'd you wind up at Champlain College?
I had been working for Middlebury College for the American Collegiate Consortium in Moscow, and then was invited to come back to Middlebury on a grant-funded program to do undergraduate exchange with students of the former Soviet Union. And that program ended, and then I wanted very much to stay in Vermont. And because of some work I had done at Middlebury at the Geonomics Institute, I knew some people at Champlain and was very impressed with what they were doing. And somewhat fortuitously, at the same time, they were looking to expand international programs.
What was the program that you worked on prior to that? What was this exchange program?
The American Collegiate Consortium was a U.S. government-funded exchange. It was, at the time, the first of its kind to exchange undergraduate students, in the sense that there were many programs where Americans could go there. There were almost none where Soviet students and then post-Soviet students could come to the United States, and this was a program where students could come and have an immersion experience, not live with a bunch of like-minded citizens, but with Russians or Uzbeks with Americans and Americans with Russians or Tajiks, and learn about the country from the inside.
How did you match students up with families? How did that work?
Students lived in dormitories, did not live in families by and large.
Okay.
With some exceptions.
John, tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, it's interesting, Mark. I've been at Champlain about 2 years, and I'm one of these guys who Roger Perry hired out of industry. There are a number of us who we've either had our own businesses and have sold their businesses, or in some cases retired early from companies like IBM and others, who have come over to Champlain to bring kind of a different experience into an academic institution. I can think of some others. Dave Bench, who was formerly president of Champlain Cable, is now at Champlain College. Celeste Gasperi, who was the one of the head folks at GreenMountain.com, is now over there. And Don Haggerty. So a number of people from industry. My work had been with software companies in working to make sure that they could take their products internationally, develop channel distribution for them, develop partnerships, at times acquisitions and mergers, just to make sure that if they had a good market share in North America, they could also develop a market share in Asia, in Eastern Europe and such.
Wow, that sounds like really both of you are pretty well suited to this program. How did this whole idea come about to have campuses in other parts of the world?
I think that a number of factors came together. The first program was in Israel starting in 1996, and that was both a manifestation of Champlain's understanding that education is now global in Vermont and everywhere, in the sense that in today's world, if you're a farmer and you produce cheese, you are in an international market. And Champlain very early understood that it had to make a commitment to that. At the same time, a series of circumstances led us to become aware of the Israel program, and we just embraced it and started right away. That was going for a couple of years, and as we realized that this was something where there really was a market and a need for students to have the kind of training that Champlain offers, we looked around for expansion opportunities.
What were the circumstances that you described that came about with the Israel program?
There's another institution that had a program, and I must say, it's a bit before my time, but that institution transferred the program to Champlain, and it grew very quickly. I think we had 300 students in the first semester.
Wow.
It was immediate.
Now, let me make sure I understand this. This is students who live in these countries as opposed to students here in America going to Israel.
Yes. In each and every country, this is a program for local students. We would love to have an exchange component, but it is designed to be a program for Emirati or Israeli or Sri Lankan students so that they can get the Champlain College education. So the programs are exactly the same as at Champlain College, primarily in business and technology. These are the most popular fields and for set up to meet local students' needs.
But I know at least in some of these cases, and correct me if I'm wrong, it really is a separate entity from Champlain College, or is it?
No, it's Champlain College.
Okay.
And it must be Champlain College because of our accreditation requirements. So the faculty are vetted by us, the degrees are issued by us, the transcripts are issued by us. It is totally Champlain College.
Okay, gotcha. How did it turn out? How did you decide which countries to go into?
We have been, one of the lessons we have learned, Champlain College and we, the people who deal with this over the years, is that one needs to be careful. The most important thing is finding the right partner. And so there are two ways in which we approach it. One, finding a partner, and two, doing a certain amount of triage about countries. Really what we're looking for, the way I like to put it, is we're looking for the British Empire, because these are countries, and that's a lot of countries.
Mm-hmm.
We are looking for countries with a sound basis in education, a secondary educational system, and countries where there is a very good knowledge of English.
Let me talk too, Gail, because it was interesting as we looked at Malaysia. We found, for instance, that in Malaysia, the country for 8 to 10 years had been expanding. Incredible growth, 20-30% a year in growth. What they had were some good senior management in their industries, in their technology industries, in their business and banking industries. They had no middle management. They hadn't had the time or able to develop that. So we saw that as an area, as a country in Southeast Asia, that would make a lot of sense with our business and technology courses to start training for that middle management group. At the same time, a company over there, Fujitsu Business Systems, determined that they needed to go into the education business in order to make sure that their people were developing the skills they needed in that upper management, middle management area. So Fujitsu took a look, again, because of their history in dealing in Britain. A lot of them have been educated at the London School of Economics and such, the senior people in that company. They took a look at the institutions in Britain, which had some experience, quite honestly, in twinning programs and in programs of relationships in other countries, starting their own campuses in other countries. Our competitors for the Malaysia program, in fact, were the London School of Economics and Cambridge University. And they chose us because the American system of education, of college education, is such that a degree in Malaysia at Champlain College is the same as a degree here in the United States. The courses are the same. The curricula is the same. So it's very meaningful. Maybe Gail can tell you the difference between the British system.
Well, I think that the British system is trying to move forward, but it's traditionally, the university system is highly theoretical, and it really is very academically oriented, and the American system, it's unfair to put everybody in the same boat. But by and large, you can say the American system has been much more responsive to market forces and much more in tune with the needs of business. The classical education scholars would consider this a failing of the American system, that it is so tuned to the environment around it, but we consider it a strength.
Hmm.
And particularly Champlain is very much in this market and prides itself on being connected to the market and to the business community.
In other words, coming up with business courses that might help people get actual jobs here in this country.
Absolutely. And American schools, fortunately, are able to move much faster than schools in most other countries, in part because we're private.
Now, is the goal to have the students that attend Champlain College universities overseas to stay in their country or to somehow kind of lure them here to America?
We take no stand on that, but we assume that most people will stay in their home country and contribute to the economy there. Those skills will be very valuable.
Is it a different kind of student that, I mean, in the past, I can remember you'd have, you know, the Saudi prince's kids would come over to this country and get educated and go back and then run the country. Is it a more of a middle group of students than that kind of elite group of kids?
Absolutely. What we offer is not only career-focused education, but also affordable education. And we are very clear about this, that one of the advantages to having a program overseas is that it is, frankly, quite a lot cheaper than taking the same course here at Champlain College. And that is because students go through as a group. So you're not free to choose, for example, philosophy or psychology. The electives are predetermined to make it make people go through as a group rather than as individuals. So that's the slight difference, and that allows us to offer these programs at a much reduced rate. And we are very committed, and our partners are very committed, to offering education to people who perhaps otherwise would not be able to afford education, and almost certainly not an American education.
I don't quite understand. Why is it less expensive to have a course overseas than here at Champlain College in Burlington?
Because students go through as a group, and also because labor is less expensive overseas.
And it's all natives who are teaching the courses?
Yes.
How do you train them to teach the courses the way Champlain College wants them taught?
Well, we spend a lot of time and effort trying to do that. The people are very highly qualified. There is no shortage of excellent teaching staff overseas. A lot of people educated in the UK, Australia, many in the United States. And we spend a lot of time developing templates or kind of bare bones syllabi that explain what it is we want out of a system. For example, in many traditional systems, you study for a year or two with a tutor, and then you have an exam after a year or two. And the American system is monitored very regularly. You have quizzes, you have papers, you have homeworks. We put all that in our templates that we develop for faculty. We are on site on a very regular basis. I've just come back from Dubai and Sri Lanka. John is off to Sri Lanka and Malaysia in a few days. And so we have made the commitment to make sure that we are there and people can talk to us and ask us.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Their email, all faculty are in email exchange with Champlain faculty about, for example, specific course issues.
So it's a smaller number of courses that are also being offered. Okay. We're talking this morning, we're chatting with John Merrill and also Gail Stevenson, both with Champlain College. We're talking about their overseas program that they have developed. Are there other people competing with you? Are there other? Is this now the new trend that everybody's doing this?
Yes, there really is. There are a number of, especially in looking at Southeast Asia, a number of Australian universities that have been in this, and also from New Zealand, a number of British institutions looking at the Middle East, because they recognize that if you take India and China, you're probably looking at close to 75% to 80% of the potential college student population over the next the next decade. That's 80% of the worldwide college population. But in those two countries, they have less than 2% of the institutions of the worldwide collegiate institutions to provide that training. So these are huge markets and needs out there. So as we look at it in terms of a business sense, we recognize that there is a potential to grow Champlain College worldwide, and we ought to do that. But we ought not to do that if it's going to endanger the mothership, if you will, in any way. So we really have people like Gail and her staff who can be dedicated to looking at the projects internationally. And then we have our own academic staff who work pretty closely with her, but are dedicated to making sure that we're working closely here just on the Champlain projects in Burlington.
We'll take a short commercial break. We'll be back, continue our discussion. If you have any comments or questions, you're welcome to call. It's 655-6753, and our toll-free number is 1-800-286-9537, and we'll be back after these important announcements.
Call the
Bill Stevenson, also John Merrill. They're both with Champlain College. We've been talking about their overseas program. Is this a program, is there, how much of a business evaluation is there if it's not doing well financially, if you don't have enough students? What can you, is it something that has to fly on its own, each individual campus? Or?
Absolutely, absolutely. Champlain needs to balance the business end with the academic end. Of course, it takes about 3 years, so we know that any campus is not going to make money for 3 years, but after that, definitely has to be on the plus side of the ledger.
How do you get students?
It's up to the local partner, but we advertise, we attend college fairs, all kinds of ways. No one overseas has ever heard of Champlain College, but once we take a couple of years getting over that hurdle, the programs we offer are really very attractive.
And there again, that's how important the partners are. If the partners have a reputation for either an educational process or some other business process that they've been involved in and they've been successful and the name is recognized and well known, they bring a lot to the equation. And as Gail said, that's one of the things we have to look at very carefully is who is our partner over there and what do they have behind them to support this endeavor.
Who are the students? Are they the typical 18 to 22-year-olds?
It varies by country, but I'd say, for example, in the United Arab Emirates, most are secondary school leavers. In Israel, for example, there are a tremendous number of people, adults in the workforce, who need retraining. Students must go in the army right after secondary school, so they all come out of the army. And then because of the huge immigrant population, for example, from the former Soviet Union, there are a tremendous amount of highly qualified people, adults, who need retraining.
Now, you were telling me before we started, in the United Arab Emirates, it's 70% expatriates. I found that amazing.
It's probably, I've heard higher figures, 75, 80.
So these are, this is a different student than, is this, or is it a different student than what you have in Sri Lanka and Israel and Malaysia?
Not necessarily. They are largely from the Indian subcontinent, Indians, Pakistanis, Sri Lankans, who live in the United Arab Emirates, some born there, but who have no access to the state-funded higher education system. And really, this is a trend everywhere. In Malaysia, there are a number of students who don't... The system gives preference to ethnic Malays, and so the large part of the population that are ethnic Chinese or ethnic Indians do not have preference. In Israel, the market is, the educational institutions simply cannot educate everyone. So there's a tremendous need for places like Champlain that meet an unmet need.
So these are students who are paying out of their own pocket somehow as opposed
to... Absolutely, yes.
So does that get you a better student by doing that?
I'm not really sure. It's fairly understood that students have to pay at least part of their education in most of these countries. Even the state-funded systems in some countries are starting to charge.
Mm-hmm. What sort of hurdles do you have to get over in order to get a university? Or actually, let me hold off on that question. We'll take a quick news break here. We'll be back, continue our discussion in a moment. We're talking with Dr. Gail Stevens. She's the Director of International Programs, and also John Merrill. He's the Director of Marketing and Business Development, both at Champlain College. Quick check in the news, and we'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to the Mark Johnson Show on News Talk 1390 WKDR and WDEV AM and FM. Back after the news. And also John Merrill of Champlain College. If you have any comments or questions, 655-6753. And our toll-free number is 1-800-286-9537. What I was going to ask you before the break is, what sort of hurdles, what are you required to do to set up a college university in another country?
It really depends upon the country. All partner institutions must be accredited by their own local accrediting body, and that varies from the fairly generic to the very, very complicated process. And that's something that we do not deal with. We require that the partners do this, and they need to do whatever is necessary. And as I say, that varies tremendously. In some countries, it has been quite burdensome. Other countries, very straightforward. But our problem is that we need to make sure that our U.S. accreditors are confident that we are doing everything in accordance with our regulations here. And we pay great attention to that.
Mm-hmm. What's been an area where it's been burdensome and why?
Well, in one country, the Ministry of Education has placed very exact rules on the kinds of courses that can be taught. For example, we have a course called Business Law. We must teach American business law, even though that course is totally irrelevant overseas. We cannot teach local business law. It must be exactly chapter by chapter what we teach here. And that is something which we find silly, but the local ministry requires that. We have no choice.
Hmm. Now, tell me about the students and their attitude towards this education program in terms of what a college education means to somebody in a foreign country.
A college education, I think, we're in a new stage now. There's a term called the massification of education, which I think is an ugly word, but it describes very well what's happening. That education really until well after the Second World War was only for the elite. And now there's the presumption that anyone should have a stab at higher education. And so it's a whole new world of people that want and need access to this. So it's very valued. And in particular, an American education is seen as both valuable and, quite frankly, a nice credential to move upwards.
Mm-hmm. So that must be helpful in your recruiting efforts. Are people trying to find the American universities in these countries?
Yes. Absolutely.
The other thing that helps a great deal is that, as you know, Champlain is pretty quick on their feet in terms of introducing the new courses that are needed for the businesses that we relate to here in Vermont and elsewhere. The fact that we're able to bring in international business, e-commerce, e-business, very quickly into our overall program of business administration, multimedia, web design. As we can do this quickly, these courses are also the ones that in Southeast Asia or in India and Pakistan, they're able to say, wow, this is what we're hearing about, and we can actually take courses in these areas. So they're getting it in Time and Newsweek or their local newspapers, and they're able to take courses from Champlain around the world in these areas.
Hmm. How do you know? You're looking at Singapore and Hong Kong. How do you know what courses to teach there? How do you know there's even a need for Champlain College in Singapore, for example? Do you test market? Do you go over there? Do you talk to people? How does that work?
Absolutely. Before we even set foot in a place, we've done a lot of homework, talked to a lot of people, read a lot. There's a lot of information in the international educational press about what's going on and why and what the trends are. So it's part of our job to keep up to date with this, to make contacts, to work with our local partners and see what they have to say. So, yes, for example, our new program in Sri Lanka, which is starting up in January, we've spent 18 months in reviewing it.
And when you review it, what are you looking at specifically?
Is there a market for us? For example, they are beginning to teach telecommunications, and the reason they and we think that will be valuable is because the telecommunications monopoly has been deregulated. And so there will be a tremendous need for middle-level technicians.
Mm-hmm. And in Malaysia, we see that the needs are certainly for management courses, for e-commerce, e-business courses, and then for the technology courses, so that the corporations that started there 15, 20 years ago can, again, build this middle management tier that they don't have today. And also in terms of the marketing, Mark, we go back and we say, what are the institutions that have been successful? Who are they? What are they teaching? But where are the gaps? Where are the openings? Do they have the new products, the new courseware that's necessary? And we often find that they don't.
Let's talk a little bit about the online program that Champlain College has. You were one of the first institutions in the country to do this?
Yes, we started in 1993, one of three institutions that began with online programs.
And how did you know then that this was something that would have any prospect of being successful?
I think it was a recognition that there were, even in Vermont, areas for continuing education that could not be served. People could not easily get to the institutions that had continuing education like UVM, even though UVM had some satellite campuses for continuing ed. And also you've got to recognize that Champlain College pays attention to the corporate community in Vermont. They serve on our task forces. The executives serve on advisory groups of our courses. And they tell us what's needed. And you get people like Steve Shepard and Jerry Johnson and others who know telecommunications inside and out. And those guys say, look, pay attention to this because we need it in Vermont. And if we need it here, you know that they need it elsewhere. And neither Gail nor I were here 8 or 9 years ago when that was started. So I'm not sure what the exact situation was that caused it.
Roughly, how many people are in this program within the foreign countries and also in the online programs?
Well, both domestically and internationally, because anyone anywhere can take our online courses. During a given year, we'll have over 2,000, about 2,100 students taking online courses. And I don't know exactly what the percentage is. I would say it's probably 90 to 92% domestic. And do you think that's about right, Gail?
I think so. And one of the things that makes it a little complicated is that there's a tremendous overlap between the online courses and the overseas programs in the sense that we have multiple delivery modes for our courses. That includes on-site teaching with local professors, as we've talked about already. But we can also do online programs from Burlington. We can do video conferencings from Burlington, and we can do a mix of all three. So we try very hard to meet the needs of the market, also in delivery modes.
Wow. Now, how many students are there at the Burlington campus?
We have about 1,200 traditional residential students and about an equal number or slightly more that take our evening courses in the evening division.
So you have arguably as many people taking courses at Champlain College who are not at the Champlain College campus.
That's right, certainly.
Wow. So do you envision 10, 15 years from now that that number is going to increase outside, that there will be less people actually at the Burlington campus than outside it?
I'm not sure there will be less, but the growth will be through the international programs and the online programs.
What are some of the difficulties in the online program? What were some of the kinks that you were ahead of the curve and had to work out and made life probably easier for everybody else?
Well, one of the things we had to figure out was how do you take a terrific professor who does a marvelous job inspiring the classroom and put them online? We had to develop two courses that each of the teachers go through before we have them teach online. This is whether they're teaching online in Tel Aviv or teaching online in Burlington. These are what we call online 101 and 102, where we help them with their skills in setting up the course? How do you make sure that the retention of the students is high? And it's actually higher than almost any of the other institutions that are doing online courses. We made sure that we could provide the services to all of our online students, make sure that they had electronic access to our library, make sure we had tutoring and counseling for the online students, made sure that we were able to give them 24/7 support in case they had a problem mm-hmm. getting into the system or something like that. There are a number of colleges that all of a sudden have said, wow, we've got to go into distance learning. But they haven't had the experience that they could put out a complete program of all the support services that you need. The other thing that is very interesting, both online as well as in our international campuses, the students who graduate with the four-year baccalaureate programs of Champlain College in Tel Aviv or wherever have the same rights. They can use our personnel offices for career planning and such. And they have all the rights of students who graduate with degrees here in Burlington.
Hmm. What did Champlain College have to do in terms of infrastructure, computer-wise, to handle that?
Well, we established a separate office, separate function to do the hosting and make sure that we had the technology necessary to promote online anywhere in the country. We did not go out and develop a conversion software, but we use one that is a market-driven product for the conversion or delivery of the products of the courses. We do a tremendous number of conversions of courses from the standard syllabus to electronic. And that's one of the reasons why corporations have been looking at us, like Putnam Financial
right.
out of Boston,
yep.
to convert their courses for their employees into online courses. And we'll be doing that for some other corporations as well.
And I was just reading again on your website, that program has been even more successful than people originally predicted.
Absolutely. It started with the concept in working with the state of Vermont that we would be working to develop and teach those who would work at home for Putnam in developing and delivering their financial support services to their clients. As a result of that and the success of that, they've come back to us and said, we really need you to convert our internal programs for online continuing education.
Do you ever see the Burlington campus becoming obsolete?
Absolutely not. The Burlington campus has to be not only maintained, but will be strengthened with new facilities in the near future. And you'll see, as we have more and more of an emphasis on business and technology, a bit more bricks and mortar in that direction as well.
Hmm. Now, Gail, if I were an American student, could I go and attend one of these programs? Could I go to Malaysia and take courses there?
We would love to have you. Yes, we would really like to encourage American students to go for a semester or for as long as they would like to. And they can, because it is the Champlain College program, and students can go and get credit for as long as they would like.
Why, it sounds like that hasn't been happening. Why is that?
Well, I think that my sense is, for the average American, these places seem very far away, and they are not well known. And I think that there's a marketing that will come, as what we do have is some students from these places at Champlain College who have come to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that will start the ball rolling.
Hmm. Thank you both for your time this morning. It really seems like you guys are really ahead of the curve here.
We appreciate
Thank
it very
you.
Much.
Thanks for coming in. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll let you folks get out of here, and we'll be back right after these important announcements.
Wholesale Express. Why pay more when you can pay less? Why buy retail when you can buy Wholesale Express?
Have you been nursing that old appliance along, hoping that it'll get you through this busy holiday meal preparation season? Wait no longer to get rid of that old, slow electric or gas range. Let Jack and his staff at Wholesale Express show you the fine art of cooking on today's updated ranges from all the top names, such as Frigidaire, Maytag, Genair, Amana, KitchenAid, and Whirlpool. See today's time-saving and work-saving features like AccuBake, AccuSimmer, Warm and Hold Zones, and Half Racks. That's not all. Purchase any new major appliance now, and Jack will give you a free turkey just in time for that holiday dinner. Shop Monday through Saturday at Wholesale Express, 180 Flynn Avenue, Burlington, just over the tracks behind Mackenzie Meats.
Wholesale Express. Why pay more when you can pay less? Why buy retail when you can buy at Wholesale Express?
Let Companion Hardware, your local trustworthy hardware store, be your holiday helper. They have everything you need to deck your halls this season in their Holiday Helper flyer, including quality GE brand holiday string-along light sets for indoor and outdoor decorating. If housewares are what you're looking for, the trustworthy Holiday Helper flyer has Hoover upright vacuums, Black & Decker quick and easy irons, and the always popular Black & Decker Dustbuster Plus 350 with tools for only $29.99. The trustworthy Holiday Helper flyer remembers the bird lovers with the perky pet brand Safari Wild Bird Feeders. They have great gifts, sure to please the handyman. The trustworthy Holiday Helper flyer has the Black & Decker Workmake 225 with advanced one-handed clamp system for only $55. Power tools from Makita, including the 9.6-volt cordless driver drill and flashlight kit, only $129 after rebate. Stop at Companion Hardware, your trustworthy hardware store at the Shelburne Shopping Park, Shelburne.
Another exciting high school hockey season gets underway this week, and Sports Radio 1390 WKDR has all the action. Join us at Letty Park Wednesday night for a doubleheader as South Burlington takes on Burlington, followed by Essex against Rice. All the action brought to you by Wholesale Express, by Libby's Blue Line Diner, by the Merchants Bank, by Travel Network, by Central Beverage and Essex Discount Beverage, by Superstore Furniture, and by Champlain Farms. High school hockey, Wednesday night at 6 on Sports Radio 1390 WKDR.
I'm WKDR News Director Tim Dodd. Join me weekday morning starting at 6 a.m. to get all the information you need to start your day. We'll tell you about the conditions on the slopes and on all the roads leading to work or the mountains. Roger Hill Weather tells you what to expect today and helps you plan for tomorrow. And, of course, we'll have all the latest school closings. Local news three times an hour, 2020 sports with Reg Degree and George Como. National news, business, and features from the Associated Press. Your key to your town, the state, and the world every weekday morning from 6 to 9, just before the Mark Johnson Show. News Talk 1390 WKDR.
Okie dokie, we're back, and we'll take your calls the rest of the way this morning. Love to hear from you, as I love to hear from you each and every day. What are our numbers on the program, Mark, you ask? Well, here it's easy. It's 655-6753. That's our local number in the greater Burlington area. And our toll-free number throughout the state of Vermont is 1-800-286-9537. Well, I had the opportunity yesterday to see my pal Linda Clark at Around the Corner Gift Shop in the booming metropolis of Essex Junction. Recently moved, now located at 4 Railroad Avenue in Essex Junction. One of the things that was interesting to me during my visit there yesterday, there must have been a half a dozen people that came into the store, and everybody's reaction when they walked into the store was to gasp in a good way and say, wow, it really looks great in here. Linda Clark has been working like a dog to put together just a beautiful collection of gift-giving items for you to select from. And I've mentioned and told you about these beautiful lighted wall hangings that you can purchase. They are prominently displayed throughout the store. But also, I need to remind you, too, that those also have accessories like table runners, door hangers, tablecloths, and you name it, accessory items that would go perfectly with each and every one of those lighted wall hangings and would make a dandy gift for a loved one. Also, it would make a great gift for you to purchase for yourself. And that's, you know, that's okay to do once in a while. It would be a beautiful way to spruce up the home for the holiday season. A beautiful collection, too, of candles and some unusual ones, too. And many of the items, in fact, 80% of the items at Around the Corner Gift Shop at 4 Railroad Avenue in Essex Junction are less than $18. So this is a store that you can go to, and it's not going to break the bank for you. And you will find high-quality, beautiful items that will make a great gift. Now, some beautiful scented pillows. There is a gingerbread pillow there yesterday that if you closed your eyes, you would swear that you were living inside a gingerbread home. And got a nice gift for the new arrival in our home, which I can actually tell you about because she's too young to understand what I'm saying on the radio, except unless it's no or ball or some other phrase like that. But you can purchase, there's a neat little item that you could purchase for the younger children, which is, it's a, let me see if I can describe this. It's basically a doll, which is empty, made of nice, fine, soft material that you can put pajamas and toothbrushes and all sorts of other items like that when the kids go off and visit Grandma and Grandpa for an overnight. Just among the many gifts that you could be purchasing right now at Around the Corner Gift Shop, located in Essex Junction. It's diagonally across the street from the railroad station in Essex Junction, and at the site of the old Tip Top News site. And the Linda Middle Clark, middle name Service Clark, will be there standing by, ready to help you out. Our numbers are 655-6753 is our local number in the greater Burlington area. And our toll-free number throughout the state of Vermont is 1-800-286-9537. A couple of quick things. I want to just correct myself here. I was dead wrong. William was right on yesterday that the briefs that were to be filed by 3 o'clock yesterday were, in fact, for the U.S. Supreme Court case that was sent back to Florida. And as far as I understand, even today, technically, the Florida Supreme Court has not taken the appeal of the circuit court judge, the circuit court judge ruling that was made a couple of days back. They have scheduled oral arguments on this tomorrow, but that as part of the oral arguments, it includes a they're going to have to make the case of why the Florida Supreme Court should take this case. I know that's a little confusing, but that's just the way this cookie is starting to crumble. There are these other cases which are going to be pursued today, which deal with this issue of absentee ballots and the applications thereof, which in a couple of the counties, there were Republican, as they're described everywhere, operatives who were allowed to go into the clerk's office, the equivalent of the clerk's office, I think they're called supervisors in Florida, after it was determined that, in fact, there was a mistake made. The Republicans and Democrats send out these applications to their loyal folks. And in fact, Tom was correct the other day, too, that there was a printing error. They were supposed to, as part of the printing, include the voter ID number to make it easier for people to just...
If I stop along the way to fight a tear, I'm sorry, but I thought I saw my dream. There's been so much that I've learned along the way. Learning love is colorblind and how to pray. That emotions were controlled from deep inside. What I learned the most was how to swallow pride. And oh, I'm just lucky to be here. I can't believe I got this. stop.